Family, my name is Greg, and I'm an addict. And it's an honor and a privilege to have the host committee ask me to come up here and share on step 4 and 5. I am very, very nervous. But my sponsor always tells me to hold on to, just tell your story. You know, before I could get to step 4, I had to deal with those other three. And my clean date is June 10th, 1997. I went to my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting in November of 1989. I'm not one of them addicts that came in here and got this thing right off the bat. Relapse is a part of my story. You understand? It took me 8 years to get one, and the reason why I share that is because I couldn't get in touch with the first step. The word surrender was not in my vocabulary. Powerlessness, I couldn't understand any of that. You know, I'm one of them people that, what happened for me is that, you know, when you're in a war and you're losing the battle, you retreat. You know, what I used to do is I would retreat, re-up, and I try this thing again. And every time I did, it tore my ass right back out the frame. But I was going to find a way to use safely. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't going to continue. Maybe I'll just send the money at home and mail it home, and then that way I won't all spend it. And then get mad when the mailman ain't there on Monday so I can start all over again. You know, that's the story. I had a real hard time with the first step. But when I got enough, I got enough. You know what I'm saying? And I surrendered to this program, and I went back in treatment. Because I'm not one of these people that could just stop using on my own. At the end, I couldn't stop, even though I wanted to for a long time. You know, the second step for me was real simple. One day I woke up, and I didn't want to smoke no crack no more. You know, that just never happened to me. Every day I wanted to use. Every day I wanted to get high. Every day that's all I thought about. And one day, I didn't want to do that. And it definitely had to be a power greater than me to do that, because I couldn't do it on my own. You know, I couldn't even figure out what was going on that day. I went all that day and I was antsy and I didn't know what was going on. And when I went to bed that night, I realized I hadn't thought about using. You know? Wow. This program is so awesome. It helped me save my life. And some days, I have so much gratitude about it. You know, the third step, I just wanted to turn it over to somebody else. Let him handle it, because I can't do it on my own. Now, if I don't do anything stupid on June the 10th, I have 14 years in this program. You know, I'm one of them people they used to call the 90-day wonder. After 90 days, they didn't have to worry about me. They didn't know what I was going to do. You know, it was real simple. That's how it was. But what happened is after I did completed my third step, I did the 1-2-3 shuffle in this room for a long, long time. You know what I'm saying? I thought it was all right. I wasn't using, you know. I wasn't worried about my behavior, you know. I just thought that was adequate for me. And it wasn't really anything about not knowing who I was, because I really kind of knew some of that stuff. It was just that I was lazy and I was all right where I was and I didn't want to do nothing else. But let me tell you something. There comes a time in this program that you're going to have to do something or you're going to leave here. And I done told you my story. I was tired of leaving here. It took me a long time to get here and stay. You know, it gave me my life back. I went back to school and got a degree. You know, my family had me back in their life. You know, they came to my house for Christmas. You know, I didn't have to go tell no more lies about I ain't have no Christmas gift because they stole them. You know, that kind of stuff. And feeling so bad after everybody gave me something, I had to go out and sell that. I wasn't living like that no more. I had a lot of things, but I was feeling like garbage on the inside. I still didn't like me. I was talking a lot of good stuff out of my mouth, but I wasn't living none of it. My self-esteem was still real low. I felt that I was less than. I'm talking about being here with some time and talking real good, but not telling y'all what was really going on with me. How I still needed people to validate me on the inside. How I needed someone to make me feel better about me. What I really want to say is that I was still using suffering acts to do what I wanted to do with them so I could feel better about me. And one day, I felt so bad. It wasn't good enough to get one suffering addict. I had to go get two. See, because I'm crap. When it comes to sex and things about me, I do a whole lot of stuff. And I needed two to make me feel better because one wasn't enough. And my self-esteem was so low. After 10 years, I was willing to risk my recovery just to be with two people. It was all right that they smoked crack and I didn't. With me in the bed with them. Both of them. You know? But it was all right because they made me feel like I was important for a little bit of time. I'm talking about after 10 years in here. I still didn't like me. I talked a good game, but I wasn't living nothing and I wasn't telling nobody what was really going on. I was acting as if. And after we did what we had to do all night, and they did what they have to do, I woke up that morning and I realized only by the grace of God I had used. And I wanted to stay here. I didn't want to leave. And it was either do some work or go. It was either look at me or go. And I decided that I wanted to stay. And I called my sponsor. See, I don't like telling that. I want to make it something different. I don't want to expose that I still let that kind of stuff run my life. And will let it run my life today if I don't do more work. I want to stand up here and act like it's all right. But it wasn't all right. I was going to use. I was going to throw everything that God gave me away for a feeling. So I called my sponsor and I tell him what happened. I told him what really happened, not 75% of it, not 5% of it, but the whole thing. And that I needed some help. That I needed to do that fourth step. And the reason why I'm sharing that, I want people to know, if you don't do step work, you're going to leave here. And in 72 hours, I had written my fourth step out. I took that green gold book and I took it everywhere with me and I did what I had to do to get better. And I started looking at me. And I understood that I was angry. When I did this step, I found out how angry I was. I was a gay man and had been abused all my life by men. I was angry at all of you brothers for what you did to me. I never saw the part I played in anything. I had to look at that. I had a lot of anger and resentment. You know, I came in hating my mother because she let that man molest me and she ain't do nothing about it. But the part I looked at later when I wrote it out, when I had to talk about that, I had got about 13 and so he had to start paying for molesting me because I wanted to hurt my mother. I resented her for not being there for me. Now, I want to share this too. My mother died February 1st. She was my best friend. See, I learned in this program how to forgive and all that stuff, even though I wasn't doing enough step work. And I know I had to forgive her to get better with me. She was my best friend. But that part, that resentment that I held on to for so long, because for a long time I thought it was my fault. Because maybe if I hadn't been who I was, he would have never bothered me. You know what I'm saying? That resentment, the resentment by my father because he was never there for me. My father was an alcoholic. He did the best he could do. You know, how angry I was, how resentful I was, how resentful I was for Narcotics Anonymous, for watching people grow, and I was still stuck. How jealous I was of other people's recovery because I wanted the same thing, but I didn't want to do the work to get it. You know, the peace that I wanted, instead of asking you how you got it, I used to tell you down and gossip about you and tell you how what you didn't do right. Point my finger at you and not look at me. You know, that fourth step told a whole lot about me. You know, the resentments, man. I had a lot of resentments when I came around here. I was real angry and I was real bitter. But I put on the front because I didn't want you to see that. I didn't want y'all to know that I was jealous of people. You know, that I was envious. All that stuff came out in the fourth step and I had to look at it again in the sixth step. You know, wow. I made that fourth step very, very hard for me. You know, but after I finished it and I went over with my sponsor and I talked about, well, let me move on. When I wrote it down and wrote all that stuff down about me, honestly, I did a very thorough one because I didn't want to use no more. I was tired of, you know, keep doing what one, I was tired of being in recovery clean and keep doing the same thing over and over again and wonder why. How did I keep ending up with the same people in my life? You know, what did I do? Why is it that I felt it necessary to have somebody else to make me feel whole? You know, what was it? You know, and part of what I found out and looking back in it, it was because I really didn't have the relationship I wanted with the God of my understanding. I didn't want to nurture that relationship because it was God that kept me here, brought me here, and kept bringing me back. But I didn't want to nurture that relationship. You know, I never felt adequate. I never felt like I was enough. And the fourth step showed me a lot of patterns in my life, how I manipulated people, you know, to get what I want. You know, I learned very early that sex was a way to manipulate people. If I did you real good, you're supposed to give me what I want. That's what comes out of that. That came out of that molestation. If I do you real good, you're supposed to give me what I want, when I want it and how I want it. You know, man, it was rough. It was rough that I made it. You know, and I thank God that I'm better with who I know I am today because I did some work. In the fifth step, I called my sponsor, and I made an appointment, and I went to my sponsor's house. And we sit down, and we prayed first. You know, and then I started going over my fourth step with him. And he started sharing stuff with me about what he had done. You know, he asked me, it was part of that he asked, when he asked me, had I ever done anything that I was ashamed of, that I needed to talk about, one of those questions in there. But I'm going to tell you how bad my self-esteem was. I had somebody take me to an alley and tell me to pull down my clothes and show my body to them, and then they laughed at me. I was so humiliated. That was something I swore I would go. For me, I don't know about nobody else, but that was the most, because then they told me they didn't want me. It was the most humiliating thing I'd ever done to myself. And I was swore I'd go to grave before I ever tell somebody that. You know, but it showed me what lengths I was willing to go just to be accepted, to be a part of, for somebody to say they wanted me. We sit down and talk, and he shared a lot of stuff with me. And after we prayed and stuff, the relief that came over me, because I had started to let all that garbage over, the relief came in five. You know, I started to understand that I wasn't alone, that a lot of the stuff I had did in my fourth step and a lot of the character defects and all that stuff that came out, I wasn't alone with them. The patterns became very clear to me as to what I was doing to myself. You know, the patterns came real clear to me that I had to get a better relationship with the God of my understanding if I wanted to be a better person. See, I didn't want to be that person no more. I didn't want to be that person in recovery that still had to get something or somebody to make me feel good, that it wasn't inside of me, but it's been there all along if I just work on it and nurture it and let it grow. You know, it hasn't been a hard ride for me in these 14 years. It's just been as hard as I made it. I'm hard-headed and I'm stubborn and I still want to do stuff my way. And I can't even say pain is a motivator, because I stayed in pain for a long time and wouldn't do nothing. I was just stuck there. See, that self-centered fear that I saw in the fourth step would keep me stuck, because when I get scared, I won't do nothing. I won't go forward. I won't go backwards. And I need to talk. That fear. Fear motivated me all my life. It made me be a part of. If I was scared and you dared me to do it, I had to show you that I could do it. You know, when I came out, I had to be the fierce queen out there. If it mean I had to go in the store and steal mink coats to look like the rest of them, that's what I did. Always being a part of, always moving on fear. How it had ruined my life because I did everything on fear. Everything. It was all there for me to see. You know, I'm glad that I'm still in this program. I'm glad that I decided to do that fourth step and stay here instead of leaving. You know, I can't even begin to tell you the rewards this program has given to me. You know, how I walk through the rooms and people hug me and I feel their love today because I feel worthy of the love. I was one of the people that I felt so bad about me. If you complimented me, I didn't say anything. It's not that I didn't enjoy the compliment. I didn't know how could you possibly compliment me? I'm not worthy of anything. How could you possibly see any good in me? There was nothing there. And I didn't mention this, and I'm rambling and jumping around. But let me tell you, I had to do the worst part of the fourth step for me. I had to talk about the good things about me. And for the life of me, I couldn't figure out what was good with me. That was the hardest part for me. You know, what I finally found out is that I understood that I was a loyal person. If I'm your friend, I'm your friend to the end. The only thing that you ain't gonna take me with, if you use it and we're friends, you gotta go, I gotta stay. You know, I'm loyal to my friends. You know, I'm a family-oriented guy. I love my family. You know, that I'm a loving and caring person. You know, I couldn't say those things about me. I felt so, some of them my sponsor had to point out. Cause I couldn't grasp the concept that there was anything good about me. I didn't even understand why that was in the fourth step. I thought it was all about what I did wrong in my life and all that. Not the good things about me. You know, God continues to bless me. He continues to let me stay in this fellowship. It's a lot of people in here. Lord, have mercy. And then when I heard who else was speaking up here, I got more nervous. You know what I'm saying? Man, I just want to tell you all that if I hadn't have done that, I wouldn't be standing here now. There's no way I could have stayed in here with all that garbage that was going. Not only the garbage, but finding out why I did what I did. You know, what's going on with me? You know, why in one minute do I hate my mother and the next minute I love her? You know what I'm saying? You know, all the stuff that I blame me for. You know, the fact that my son died while I was using and I didn't think I was a good father, and because I was using and taking his stuff and using it and stealing it, all that kind of stuff. I had to deal with, why did I feel that way? What was wrong with me? You know, I'm not going to share anymore. I'm going to sit down. I just want to thank the committee for asking me to come in and share my experience, strength, and hope. And if anybody haven't told you today they love you, I do. But that's it.
Let's thank Greg M. for sharing. At this time, I would like to introduce our next speaker. His name is Bobby Joe, and he's from Baltimore. And he'll be sharing on Hell Has an Exit.
Thank you. My name is Bobby Joe, and I'm a grateful recovering addict. And I'm blessed to be in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, and I'm truly grateful to be here. I know some people probably wondering about the topic when the topic talks about hell has an exit. Before I can talk about the exit, I need to talk about the hell. I don't apologize for my insanity. I don't apologize for my sickness. I don't apologize before coming to Narcotics Anonymous of my distorted behavior. I don't apologize for that. But before you can take an exit, I need you to describe the problem. You need to see your hell for what it really is. God has a way of making you see yourself. What I'm talking about when I talk about hell, I'm talking about an act of addiction. When you caught up in the grips of an obsession and a compulsion, and even though you out there, you thinking that everything that you do is you, not realizing that I'm being motivated by the disease of addiction that demands me to do things contrary against my own will. My sickness and my destruction, when I talk about sickness and my destruction, I'm talking about the sickness of my mind. It is my mind that's sick. It is this disturbance of my emotion that demands me to do contrary to the things that I don't want to do. I can't apologize to you in Narcotics Anonymous if I told you, and I'm sharing with you, that the addict that I became in active addiction, you talking about a sick child. I killed the man in 1974 and set him on fire. You want me to describe the hell? I don't apologize for my sickness or my distorted behavior. Because you're a sick child, and I want you to see how sick you are. Not only when you enact, but I want you to see the sickness even before you come to Narcotics Anonymous. Because you're going to exhibit these behaviors against your own will. But I want you to see that because I want to set you up. Because I want to let you know that you need me. I was violent. My mother didn't even want me anymore. I contemplated using peoples, hurting peoples. And even after coming to Narcotics Anonymous, didn't even have a clue based on the clarity of my thinking. Didn't even realize how sick I really was. It was a distorted behavior. The disease was hiding my sickness, making me think that every action and everything that I displayed in Narcotics Anonymous, it was me. But I was motivated by the disease of addiction that demanded me to do things contrary to my own will. You don't apologize for nothing you do or you say. It takes a real man and a real woman to make an admission out of act of humility that you're wrong and that you need help. After being here for 28 years, being in Narcotics Anonymous, I was one of the most cruddest, conniving, scheming, vicious, conniving whore in Narcotics Anonymous. I contemplated and I plot on how to use and manipulate everybody in Narcotics Anonymous because of the depths of the self-centeredness of my sickness. I'm trying to describe to you how sick I really was. If you can't tell on yourself and you can't get honest with you and you can't make the admission of humility to get honest, there's no need of you going to the exit. Because the exit that I'm really talking about is the third step. But if you can't identify your problem, it is no need of you coming and asking God to help do for you what you can't do for yourself. You don't have to come here and impress nobody that you all that. You still have distorted behaviors. You still have delusions that you forget sometimes. You're not always in your right mind. Your time don't mean nothing to God. You need to be resurrected in your mind to be restored. And that is a process. For one can even talk about healing, but you better describe the problem. But there's a paradox in describing the problem. Because each day I'm going to make you see yourself in Narcotics Anonymous, because you're going to be presented with opposition. You go to meeting, you share. You lead a meeting, but you're still doing insane things. You still going in stores and taking little stuff. You still manipulate and using people. You sharing good. You carrying the message, but you living like a dog. You're not living right, man. I'm just telling on me. I'm not talking about me. I'm not talking about you. My hell was my destruction in my mind. And when you get sick and tired of being tired, then you'll come home. I did everything. I came here sickness. I had worse nightmares. I was paranoid in my own thinking. I was in a state of delusion. I was not the normal child that you see because of the fact I watched the abuse take place in the neglect of my mother and my father abused me mentally. My father and my mother abused me physically. It allowed me to become a disturbed sick child. That's why I was so deep in my self-centered. I used and I hurt everybody through the act of my anger and my resentment. I cultivated these habits coming to Narcotics Anonymous. And I began to lash out. I was a nice guy in Narcotics Anonymous, but I had a hidden agenda. I'm going to make you pay like I pay. Because I'm still wounded. I'm still abused. I has not healed. I'm sharing, but I has not healed yet. Emotional balance has not come. My mental state has not been transformed yet. I'm literally talking it, but you has not transformed yet. I'm still acting out with time. I stopped by to report to you. But I'm going to come to the solution shortly. You don't need to impress nobody. May I have my water, please? I felt so bad. I felt bad. Even in Narcotics Anonymous, I felt so bad. That even after being here, you feel so bad when you just do things to people. When you hurt people, you assassinate people's character. You begin to lash out and use and manipulate people with your mind and your emotion. I felt so bad and not got it enough. Even with time, I felt so bad. I begin to say, God, I do not want to live like this anymore. Please help me. I had to come to a humility statement. I need help. I'm tired of acting out. I can't just keep blaming most on my disease, even though the disease of addiction is the motivating factor. But I played a part. You cannot see the solution until you see the problem. I was driven to do things. For 28 years in this program, I feel so bad about me. Using people, hurting people, constantly doing the same thing. You're talking recovery, but you're living a lie. You still a whore. You still manipulating. You sharing meetings. You got sponsors. You telling them how to do. But you still sick, man. And God wants you to see yourself. You don't have to apologize, Bobby. That is the reason why I brought you here. I brought you here to show you your destructive pattern and show you your destructive behavior. I want to show you how mental and emotional sick that you really is. You can't keep justifying about you just clean. Clean, you can be clean, but you still in hell with your behavior. Because you have a destructive behavior that out to hurt everyone because you has not did a transformation on the inside of being able to deal with surgery. You're going to many conventions. You're going to many workshops. But you're hiding behind a mask. For 28 years, that's all I did, and not cut us a number. And I would go home with a guilty conscience, knowing that you still sick and you using people. When are you going to stop, man, and come to a point that you're tired of living like a dog in a hole? Can't even look people in the eyes and the face. How you doing? Fine. You're talking the talk, but you feel bad about yourself. There was times that I couldn't even share at the meeting because of my distorted behavior and my thinking. Because my conscience wasn't right. For me, I said I no longer want to keep living like this. I was tempted from every corner. You can't keep talking. You're going to have to dress your disease, man. You're going to have to come in narcotics and numbers. You're going to have to come to this exit. You're going to have to come to God. And even when you come to God and ask God and you recognize now that you have a problem, now you realize what's really going on inside of you. Now you're going to have to begin to deal with your sickness, man. You're going to have to start addressing these issues and behavior. You can't just keep talking about this and that. You can't keep talking about your lust. You can't keep talking about your manipulation and being self-centered and getting over on people. You're going to have to practice honesty if you want to make a psychic change in your life. Going to meetings, all different types of states. Sharing but living like a dog. Plotting and scheming and trying to manipulate who I can get over, who I can seduce, and just for only for sexual gratification of a pleasure, only temporary. I don't want to live like that anymore. It's been real hard for me, but I've been able to do it. I've been able to maintain, since I've been here in the last 3 years, I've been able to maintain my recovery. I have not been practicing whore's behavior. I have not been trying to trick with the newcomer. I have not been trying to take nobody home. I've not been trying to go outside the relationship because you don't want to deal with that dog in you. Day in the last 2 years or something, for me, what I have to do to maintain my recovery, I have to pray and I have to meditate because my mind is always talking to me. Even when you go into conventions and you see the pretty little sister, you want to begin to lust in your mouth. Who can I take to the bed tonight? Who can I go? Now it takes discipline if you want to really want to change. You have to learn to say no. You have to learn to sit still and want to make the change. You got to want to live right. You got to not just talk recovery, but you got to live recovery. And I thank God today I can stand here today and say I've been practicing the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I've been not trying to take nobody around the corner. I sleep good at night with my conscience today. I came here by myself. I'm going to leave by myself today. Nobody's going to my room and lay in my bed with me. No, not me. I'm not the stalker that you used to see. I'm not the guy that tree boxing or trying to wonder where you at and quote unquote. I've been there before. I know what hell is all about. But there must be a bottom. If there's no bottom to come, then you're still in the problem. I'm grateful for this program of Narcotics Anonymous. In order for my mind to be really transformed, in order for me to establish some emotional balance in my life, there must be a willing process that has to take place. You have to do things in this program that you don't want to do. You got to be a servant to others when you don't want to be a servant. You got to go to meetings and you got to share with the new birth. You got to labor with the newcomer. You got to look at your schedule and go to meet. You can't expect God to do something for you and you still in the problem. You can't recover it by yourself. You have to work with others. You'll find no peace in your life, Bobby Joe. I'm not looking. What I do, I don't do it 1 hour. Even when I'm not in Narcotics Anonymous, even when I got here, before I came here, I meditated. Even when I went home, I meditated. I constantly have to try to be vigilant because I know what my thinking will, I know what my mind will do. It will divert. It's a daily reprieve. I have to continue to practice the 10th, 11th, and 12th step. I have to do this for me to secure my recovery. I have to secure my recovery. I have to keep restoration in place. I can't keep allowing my disease to creep in the back door. I see the little thoughts coming. I see the little feelings creeping. But I got to learn to say, no, I'm not going to go. You're not going to recovery. It's not going to come until you go through the fire. Emotional balance is not going to come until you sit still and endure stuff. I don't want to just be clean. I'm tired of being clean. I want recovery to be in my life. And I've been enjoying my life for the last 33 years that I've been in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm truly grateful for that. But the 3 years, I've been doing what I'm supposed to do. I don't apologize for the things that I did. What I do is that I just tell on myself. You can't impress nobody. You can't fool nobody. You can't intellectualize the program. You can't mimic how you're going to share. You be honest because God said, I see everything that you do and I know everything that you say. I see you. You can't fool me. You can't manipulate me. What I ask you to do is go tell the truth. You don't have to impress nobody. You don't have to try to please nobody and not cut us a number. But you better please me. And if you're trying to impress somebody, you're trying to look good in the eyes of folk, that means your self-esteem is still low. You don't know who you really are. You're trying to copycat of another identity because you have no identity for yourself. You only receive integrity when you get to the fifth step. I don't have to mimic nobody tape how I'm going to share. I don't need to listen to your tape where I'm going to share. I have a tape inside of me. I'm just grateful that I was asked to be a part of this convention. Hail the destruction and act of addiction. Exit is the third step. I came in the door, but until you take the exit, until you begin to let God mold and transform your life, you still the same addict behavior. You still gonna practice those behavior. And you're gonna see yourself when the two tests begin to come, when you begin to go to different places and things. You begin to see who you really are. You'll see how well that you're able to stand up and say you have morals and you have principles, and you can say no to the sister. Sister, I ain't trying to go with you. I don't want no sex. I ain't want the booty. I ain't lusting off that. I deals with my lust of that, and I'm not talking about masturbation either. I've done that too. I know how to pray. I know how to say no. I know how to walk with my head up. I know how to look and keep going. That's why I got to keep talking to my mind, saying, no, I'm not trying to go there. I know the disease is at work. Don't you come share no meeting if you ain't living right. You can't keep justifying, I'm still a human being. We are not perfect. It is nothing but a cop-out. How you ain't set an example for the newcomer? You trying to build a bridge. They want to see the recovery. What can you? How you going to be an example? How you going to sponsor other members telling them how to live and you still doing the same thing? You can't keep justifying that, man.
How much more time I have?
Thank you. I struggled with my shortcomings in here. I struggle more with my mind than anything else. I struggled with the freak and the dog. That was my major problem. Because I was trying to find pleasure. I was trying to find comfort. I was trying to fill a void on the inside. And I thought even if I masturbate, even if I go have sex outside of the relationship or just go have sex, it will fill the void. I have a high tolerance for sex. Even in acts of addiction, I begin to see that the defect of character that I saw my defect of character. I saw how sick I was. I began to act out of a lot of behavior because my mother was never there to nurture and give me the love. So I would dream about having sex, and not only had sex with my sister, I would have sex with my sister. I had sex with my sister, and when I couldn't get sex, I would go in the house and have sex with the dog. Those are the things that I did in act of addiction, and I brought it in Narcotics Anonymous. I had to take a deep look at myself. That's my distorted behavior. How sick and emotional, unbalanced and disturbed I was. My mind was my enemy. Sitting in the meeting and still plotting. Contemplating on how you're going to use somebody and manipulate and justify your excuses. Man, you're going to either recover or you're not going to recover. You're accountable for your action today. I'm no longer using those excuses today. And I never said I was perfect in no time. I'm becoming what God wants me to be. I'm no longer trying to use nobody today. I'm no longer trying to manipulate no sister today. I don't need your phone number just to try to get you to do a meeting, then I'm trying to go to bed with you. I've done that. Not for me today. I'm standing today for something. I'm living my life today for something. If you still seeing the old Bobby Joe, that's your story. It ain't mine. Our book said we do recover. I was in a conversation with a guy talking the other day. I had to walk away. I don't want to hear all that mess about who we going to sleep with or it's going to be sex. I don't want to hear all that food. I'm not there. I have a deaf ear to that. I'd rather sit and be by myself and listen to that part. I've done all that, man. I don't want to use my brother. I don't want to use my sister. I ain't trying to use nobody today. I'm not trying to live like that anymore. When I walk out the door, I'm going to have a clear conscience today. It ain't got nothing to do with nothing religious. It got nothing to do with nothing being perfect. I'm just trying to live a good life today. I'm practicing what I live, what I say today. I go to work. I go home. I go to what? I go home. I read my books. I go to my meetings. I go to meetings. And I deal with people in recovery. And what have been working for me for the years that I've been in this process, I go to meetings where newcomers at. I don't go to meetings where old timers at. I go to meetings where there's a need at, where there's a cry, where folks need help. The cry of the newcomer, you don't have to be able to sponsor nobody to help them. You don't have to have the home group. God called you to go. You got to be willing to go to the four corners. If you're in D.C., east, south, north, and west, you're in Baltimore, wherever you're east, south, north, and west, you got to go to the four corners. You ain't willing to go to the four corners to be a servant to others, then restoration in the spiritual prison will not come alive in your life. You'll just be clean. If the book said we all are one, that means we have to help everybody. Ain't no defect gonna be moved because you get on your knees. Their conditions have to be met. You got to serve people. You got to call them up to help them. Even when they crying out in the meeting, you got to say, get their number, call them up and be a help. Or pray for them or go on and talk to them. Those are the things that you got to do in order for you to maintain this journey. If you want to enjoy the fruits of Narcotics Anonymous, I've been enjoying my fruits. I have peace in my life today. I'm standing for something today. Am I one shot away from some dope? No! I don't have any drug dreams today. That's a lie they telling. Either the 12 step work or they don't work. I know it's hard sometimes. But in closing, it takes discipline to sell out. You have to put restrictions on your mind and your body. You got to want to change. You got to learn to want to sit with you sometime. It's nothing wrong with being home by yourself. And I got to run hobo to me. Even you're going to the meeting day after day after day and hearing all the messages of the covenant. But when you going to go home and apply to yourself and wake up the next day, then I'm going to be a good Samaritan. You talking recovery, you hearing it, but you ain't walking in nothing, brother. You took the third step, you exited the third step. You asking God to let you see yourself. You asking God to take your will in your life. And then when he begin to reveal to you your broken character and the flaws in your makeup, you really not still willing to walk in nothing. You talking change, but the change, the transformation hadn't really took place. Not criticizing nobody, not putting nobody down. I ain't telling you how to recover. I'm not telling you how to live your life. I'm just telling you how my life feels today. That's all that's important. In the eyes of God, then I'm trying to live a good life. I still have my ups and downs. I still make little mistakes sometimes. I still might tell the white lies sometimes. I'm still imperfect. But I do not practice those behaviors. The 12 steps is coming alive in my life today. Because I'm a true servant today. That's what keeps me moving. That's what keeps my restoration. That's what keep emotionally balanced. That's what keep God continuing to renew my mind, because I'm always seeking service and how to help somebody. I'm always thinking less of myself and how I can go help you. And when you start doing those things, watch your recovery start coming. Watch God begin to reveal the book to you. Watch your job come in line. Watch your children start coming home. I'm not talking what I heard. I'm talking about what I practice. When you practice these things, all those things will take place in your life. Anyway, I'm grateful. Again, I ask the committee, and I thank the committee for you all coming out and supporting me in this process. My name is Bobby Joe. And I'm an addict, and I keep coming back.
Let's thank Bobby Joe again.